You're listening to Edars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درود شریف پڑھ لیں. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an open declaration in His glorious speech that shaitan is the blatant enemy of the believers. Shaitan, as in the non-Muslim jinns, are blatant enemies of the believers. Inna shaytana lakum aduwwun. Verily shaytan is your enemy. The message given to us in the Quran, Allah says, fattakhidhuhu aduwwa. And so make sure you maintain that high level of animosity with shaitan all the time. Make sure that you maintain that animosity, that enmity, the grudge with shaitan at all times. We are never to compromise with the shaitan. Why? Because the shaitan is full of evil. There is no khair, only evil comes from shaitan. He is the maestro of all evil. We need to understand that. He would not spare the believer. He does not give a chance to anyone. And so we need to understand this. Subhanallah. And so this enmity that shaitan has with the believers is because shaitan does not take blame for his own actions. He does not take blame for his own actions. He does not look at his own disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather he blames Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. And so what he says is that his damnation and curse, his downfall, is because of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. And therefore Adam alayhi salatu wasalam has passed away. So this enmity continues with his progeny. And so from his progeny, the most hated and detested by non-Muslim jinns are the believers. And so we need to understand this. And this jihad, this battle, starts from the very first day. Allahu Akbar. He gives you no time. From the very first day, when the mother has given birth to the child, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, every newborn cries at birth. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes on to explain, this is because shaitan is there. And what he does is that he wants to poke the child, the babe, or pinch him. And it is the pinching and the poking of shaitan that makes the baby cry. This is in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ إِلَّا نَخَسَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ Not a child that is born, but the shaitan is there wanting to pinch him or to poke him. And so ultimately what happens is the baby cries. So the first thing you will actually witness is for the baby to cry. In fact, if the baby does not cry, perhaps the doctors will want him to cry. So he will cry. Allahu Akbar. And none have given protection. Except for, in the hadith it is mentioned, special mentioning is given to a great Nabi of Allah whose name is Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that Isa alayhi salatu wassalam has been protected. Now, perhaps some of you might be wondering, then what about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Very simple. My respected brothers, if Isa alayhi salam can be protected, who in status is inferior than Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not even come in that comparison. And so he just mentioned the name Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, the great Shafi'i muhaddis, a lot of people say, why do we want to follow any madhahib or follow any madhab? Here you are, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, what a muhaddis of his time. He was a Shafi'i, and he says that we need to understand the hadith that it is not only referring to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, but by mentioning one Nabi, all the prophets are included. By mentioning one Nabi, all the prophets are included. And so Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam are ma'soom and mahfooz. So they are infallible. And of course shaitan has no power over Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. And so immediately what you see is the scourge that comes from shaitan, warning a person, especially a believer, that there is no chance for you. So he wants to throw the first punch. What does he want to do? Throw the first punch. Wo ustaz wo aise sabak nahi aata hai to yun karte hai na, to pinch you. So this is what the shaitan does. Allahu Akbar. And so immediately, well, I'm sure the teachers don't do that now because that would be child abuse. So beware, nobody does that nowadays. Khair, shaitan still does this. Shaitan still does this. And so we have to be very, very careful. And that is why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, immediately when the child is born, our duty is what? To give adhan in the right ear and iqamat in the left ear. To make sure that the right action is also taken. A warning that is given to the shaitan also immediately, that this child is not an ordinary child. This child is a Muslim child. And therefore, if you have the ability to pinch him, we will also retaliate. And we will also say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And this gives him a lot of pain. This also gives him a lot of pain. And so until death, this battle continues with Ahle Iman, men, women, people of Iman until death. And so we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. The reason why this topic is very important is because we need to understand how the shaitan, how the non-Muslim jinns, and in fact, the world of jinns, how they operate, how they function, the ability and the power, what they have with them, what they can do, their limitations. And so we need to understand who shayateen are. And inshallah ta'ala, once we have this understanding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very easy. In the beginning when you want to learn how to drive, You might take a left turn and it's in your fourth gear. And the car might stall. So what you do is put it back into the second gear. But then you get better and better and better. And so as believers, mashallah, when we understand how the shayateen operates, life becomes very, very easy for us. The shaitan will not trouble us, inshaAllah ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. So the shaitan generally is weak. But he is weak when the believer is strong spiritually. When the believer is strong spiritually. In another hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, and this is in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari and in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, that when a believer goes to sleep in the night, what he does is that the shaitan ties three knots behind the neck of that person. Behind the neck of that person. Three knots. And so he ties three knots. And he wants to mesmerize and convince that person, mashallah, bhai, go to sleep. It's a very long night. It's a very long night. So this is what the shaitan does. And so he is actually in your room. Many a times, people even fail to read a very short dua, which is Allahumma bismika mutu wa hayya. Many people fail and forget to read Ayatul Kursi, Kul a'udhu bi rabbil falak and Kul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. And they say, mashallah, you know, with me, I hit the bed and the minute the head touches the pillow, I'm gone. I'm gone. Where are you gone? Gone with shaitan. Where is he gone? He is gone with shaitan. And so even if you are married, before turning to your spouse who you love, read the dua. Because the love of Allah is greater than the love of human beings. So read your dua. When you read your dua, your partner will also feel that, let me read the dua also. Let not the shaitan make life difficult for you. And people who are mashallah young or perhaps who are not married, then they have to read. In any case, a believer, man or a woman, they have to read. And so even if he reads, it is mentioned in the hadith, the shaitan has the ability, he will tie three knots behind the neck here. Three knots. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that if a person wakes up and he takes the name of Allah, the first knot is untied. The first knot is untied. So whatever dua you read, you could read Bismillah, you could read Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'da ma matana wa ilayhi nushur, or simply the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or any of the wadaif that you know. So the first knot is untied. And then you wake up and do wuzu. So when you do wuzu, the second knot is also untied. And when you read your salah, your fajr salah, your third knot is also untied. And so the muhaddiseen have mentioned that every day shaitan goes through this process. Every day. And every day it is the duty of the believer to make sure that when he goes to sleep, he must read dua, kalimats, which only takes 5 minutes, bas. Kul a'udhu bi rabbil falak, kul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, ayatul kursi, bhai, and Allahumma bismika mutu wahya, and your kalima, to the least, and go to sleep. And go to sleep. The more you read, the better it is. But then if you do the three things, take the name of Allah, do wuzu, and read your salah, it is said that during the day, it becomes very, very difficult for the shaitan to take control of you. Very difficult. But he takes control of you when there is still a knot that is tied on you during the day. So maybe you might have missed out from your salah or missed out from doing wudu, whatever, and you just went out. And so two knots or one knot that is tied, or even three knots that is tied. Then the shaitan has easy access with that individual. That is why ulama have explained to us how the jinni enters into the body. How the jinni enters the jinn, right? The jinni enters the body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the human body such that the skin is waterproof. The skin is waterproof. And they are pores. What are they? Pores. And so because of the pores that are in the skin, it makes it easy for the shaitan to actually go in and out. Why? Because the jinni is created from a substance that is like wind. That is like wind. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the kalam that the jinns are created from a flameless fire. What is it? Flameless fire. The jinns are created from a flameless fire. So what is the tashri and tafsir of flameless fire? Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an says, flameless fire means the hot wind that comes out from fire. The hot wind that hits you, the hot wind that comes out from fire, it is from that hot wind that the shayateen, the jinns have been created. And therefore they have access to the human body. And the ulama have mentioned that as they enter, the first thing they target is the brain. What is it? The heart and the brain. So once they occupy the brain or the heart, all of the organs are under their control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers and elders. That is why we have to be very, very close to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At times, epilepsy and diseases like depression, many of these diseases are connected to shayateen, to the jinns, non-Muslim jinns. And so we have to be very, very careful. They do have a lot of power and access. But this can be taken on and challenged by the wazaif, by the dua, what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us. It is extremely powerful. What is it? Extremely powerful. In fact, Ayatul Kursi, that in itself is very, very powerful. And so the more you read, it's like you are strengthening your immune system or your spiritual system to defend yourself from the jinns, from the non-Muslim jinns. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers. And so it's very important that we understand. Now the nature of shayateen is that they never get tired. Very stubborn. What are they? Very stubborn. They never tire. They never get tired. And they will challenge you all the time. Just to give you an example, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam are ma'asoom, infallible human beings, and that shaitan has no access with Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. No access given to them. They are blocked from Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. Despite that knowledge given to them, they will still take on that challenge to disturb even a Nabi or to challenge a Nabi. Now imagine if this is the scenario with Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, then what about the common man whose iman is weak? The common man whose iman is weak. Just to give you an example, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, the first Rasul of Allah, the first Rasul of Allah. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, during the floods, everyone on board, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam was looking at everyone, all the passengers. He would recognize everyone there. But there was this old man, very weak and frail, with a stick sitting there. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam was a Nabi. He was not to be deceived. Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam said, this man looks like Iblis. This man looks like Iblis. Who is he? During the floods, who is this man sitting on board in the ark comfortably with a stick? Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, what a Nabi of Allah, came to this man, old man, and said, tell me, who are you? Immediately Iblis knew that Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam has recognized him. He himself was Iblis. Who was he? Now this is going back to the time of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Remember, after Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the Nabi, the Rasul that came was who? Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the first Rasul.
And so he said to Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, you know who I am. I am Iblis. And so Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam said, what is it that you want? He said, what I want is to take control of the hearts of your followers. I want to take control of the hearts of your followers. So in their bodies they are with you, but in their spirits they are with me. In their bodies they are with you, but in their spirits they are with me. Now, we need to understand that, of course. That does not mean if the shaitan is to trouble you and if wasawis come to you, that, oh, the shaitan has taken control of you. It doesn't just mean that. We need to understand this is something that will always continue. Wasawis will come. Wasawis will come. But we need to understand this, how the shaitan actually operates. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, imagine what a Nabi he was. What a great Nabi he was. Iblis came to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar. And Iblis met up with Musa alayhi salam and he said that, I want to surrender to Allah. This was shocking news for Musa alayhi salam. That Iblis wants to surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, oh Musa alayhi salam, you are Kalimullah, the great Nabi and Rasul of Banu Israel, the most beloved to Allah. You are Kalimullah and someone who is very close to Allah, and therefore I come to you. I wish to surrender and I wish you to open this case in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah should forgive me. Now imagine Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's jalal. He was a very straightforward man. What was he? Very straightforward man. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that amongst my companions, the temperament of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab is that which is shared with Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So the temperament of Musa alayhi salam, that is the temperament of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala amongst my companions. So these were powerful people like Musa alayhi salam. So Allah's Nabi is Khatamun Nabiyyin, but Umar ibn al-Khattab was like that. And we know the character of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. And so Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, khair, what stops me from asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam lifted up his hands and he says, Bari ta'ala, I can't believe it, but Iblis is here and he wants to do tawbah. He wants to do tawbah and repent. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, oh Musa, if he wants to repent, no problem. That condition is still there. That condition is still there. The same condition. Fulfill that one condition and Allah will forgive you. And that one condition is even today, if he goes and does sajda to the grave of Adam alayhi salam, Allah will forgive him. If he goes and does sajda to the grave of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah will forgive him. Musa alayhi salam was all excited, thinking that this was unconditional surrender that came from shaitan. Unconditional surrender. So he was happy. So he quickly met up with Iblis and said, Iblis, no problem, everything is sorted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be razi with one condition, don't worry. Very simple condition, it is easy for you. You want to repent, no problem. Go and do sajda to the grave of Adam alayhi salam. I, Musa, the Nabi of Banu Israel, will testify that Allah has forgiven you. And when he said that, Shaitan, being created from a flameless fire, started fuming and said, oh Musa, don't you know that when he was alive, I didn't surrender to him. You expect me to prostrate him when he has died? When he was alive, I didn't put my head down. And what is this that you tell me that I should put my head down to him when he is dead, when he has passed away? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam looked at Iblis and understood. Kibai, this is Iblis. This is how Iblis is. And khair, what Iblis did is that looking at the nature and the status and honor of Musa alayhi salam, he said, because you have shown some sympathy to me, I will disclose some secrets about the shayateen. I will disclose some secrets about the shayateens. Musa alayhi salam said, okay, tell me what. And he said, I will tell you how we, the shayateen, the group of shayateen, take control of the believers. So Musa alayhi salam said, I am all ears, tell me. And so he said, first we take control by making a person angry. What is it? Anger. Many Muslims today suffer from this. Many, many Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Women suffer because the anger of their husbands. Because of the anger of their husbands. And sometimes even the husbands suffer because of the anger of the wives, bhai. Don't know, barabar in our days, you know. Everything is unisex. Everything is unisex, bhai. It's all the same now. Gender is the same now. That is what they are pushing at. Allahu Akbar. And so when a person is angry in anger, he will speak against his father, he will speak against his mother, he will speak against everyone, he will break relationship, and all sorts will happen by anger. So when a person becomes angry, look what Iblis said to Musa alayhi salam. First, we take control of the eyes in anger. So we take control of the eyes, and when you see, when a person is angry, the eyes become red. The eyes become red. And he's very angry. You can see it from the face and you can see it from the eyes. Because the shaitan takes control of the eyes, and then the shaitan takes control of the heart. And then shaitan says, and then we take control of the entire body. And he said exactly what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, that shaitan flows in the body like how blood circulates the entire body. Like how blood circulates the entire body. So he has taken control of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers. Take control of your anger. And you are a close believer to Allah. A close believer to Allah. Anybody can get angry. Anybody can get angry. Subhanallah. Showing love. Showing love. Win the hearts of the people. Look at Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Find incidents. How many incidents and events will you find that you can put on one 13 line paper of where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was angry? Fill it. Fill that white paper. Show us and tell us that from the 63 years, how many times was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam angry? How many times? Handful of events. Handful of events. The overwhelming feature of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was that he was rahmatul lil alameen. And you show that part of rahmah and you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. So he said, the first thing is we take control by getting him angry. Getting him angry. When a person is angry, he needs to take control of himself. Only he himself can take care of himself. And he needs to control himself. There are wazaif that a person can read. The second he said is that during jihad in the battlefield, when a mujahid is out there, we remind him of his family members, the wife and the children and his property and his wealth, so that possibly this would weaken him in jihad fi sabilillah, and he would turn away and he would flee from the battlefield. And the third thing what shaitan says is that what we do is that when a man is alone with a woman, when a man is alone with a woman, it becomes extremely easy for us to make them go into a situation in which both of them lose their chastity. Both of them lose their chastity. And so when a lady sits with a ghair mahram man, or a man sits with a lady who is not her, not his mahram, then definitely the shaitan is the third party that takes control of both of them. And aliyazu billah, he plants the seeds of zina in their hearts. He plants the seeds of zina in their hearts. And that is why it's very, very important, my respected brothers and sisters. Even when women go to the shops, even when they need to go shopping, it doesn't mean that you chit-chat with the shopkeepers. Ah, bhai, Abdullah bhai, kam cho, apple ketlana, ah ketlana, how much is this, how much is this? Abdullah bhai becomes very free. Huh? Very free. And I will use the name Amatullah, because Abdullah, the opposite of Abdullah is Amatullah. In case if I take somebody's name, somebody will say, ah, Maulana is doing ishara to somebody. No, bhai, I'm not doing ishara to nobody. It's like one day when I completed my Jummah namaz and I came downstairs, this man was really heated up. And he looked at me and he says, Maulana sahab, Allah will never forgive you. I said, my bhai, what have I done? He says, Maulana, you were talking about me sitting on the pulpit. I said, Allah, what? But bhai, I don't even know you. I don't even know your background. Why should I be talking about you? And if you feel I was talking about you, you should do your islah reform. Reform, bhai, this is what you do. Maybe somebody might feel I'm talking about him. But genuinely, Allah is my witness. Allah puts everything in the heart. But if I'm talking, it doesn't mean I sit with the intention that I will do my own islah. I will do my own islah. So it doesn't mean that a woman goes outside and she has this license to chit-chat with everybody, no? Bhai, no. Maulana Zulfiqar, Madzillah wal Ali would say, baat se baat banti hai. What did he say? Listen to this. Baat se baat banti hai. The shaitan drags you. The first thing he drags is the tongue. You can be in hijab and a man can have a beard and a topi and a pagri and a kurta. But when a ghair mahram lady is there, believe me, everything becomes very loose. And so you have to be very careful. This is what the shaitan is saying. Be careful. One of the reasons why our ulama say that women should abstain from working is because they have to throw themselves in that environment where it becomes hard for them and hard even for the men folks that are there. Khair Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. But this is what shaitan told who? Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. There is an incredible incident that occurred with Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. Inshallah in the next lesson, in the next session, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, when this lady got jinn. But what I wanted to say finally, a few minutes, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah's Nabi was the Imam and leading people to Salah. And all of a sudden Allah's Nabi in his Salah was saying, A'udhu billahi mink, A'udhu billahi mink. I seek refuge with Allah against you. I seek refuge with Allah against you. And he was extending his hands as if to reach something three times. Three times. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in was shocked that this was a very different namaz. And so Allah's Nabi, when he completed his salah, they said, Ya Rasulullah, is everything okay? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything is okay. And he said, Iblis came to me, and he was holding a torch of fire. He was holding a torch of fire, wanting to burn me, burn my face. Aliyazu billah. Obviously, we need to understand that shaitan has no access to that. The shaitan has no access with Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and especially with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what he did is that when he saw Iblis, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam extended his hand and he strangled Iblis. This was the strength of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Iblis was being strangled at the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so much so that there is a narration in Nasai Sharif, another hadith kitab, Imam Nasai, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was strangling him and choking him, that Allah's Nabi said that I even felt the tongue of Iblis. That I even felt the tongue of Iblis. And I wanted to capture him, but I always remember the dua of my brother Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was the power given to Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Three incidents have been mentioned incidents that occurred with Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Iblis and a Nabi, Nuh alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And so we need to take this lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. This ummah has got power. This ummah has got power. This ummah can protect itself. And how can it protect itself? By reading the very short wazaif and dua that is mentioned in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tuba alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ta'ana gufranak rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.